That's always the trick in that kind of direction. It's like, okay, you can only learn so much out of a book. But yeah. you can get the certification, so technically you know what you're doing. That doesn't mean that you've actually done it before. Hands-on experience is kind of important for a lot of those things.
Well, right. That's part of the argument I always hear about, like, art schools and stuff. People, you know, always saying, like, well, you can learn anything you learn in art school out of a book. You can totally do this on your own. It's like, yeah, you can learn the technical skills on your own, but, like, you know, the work placement kind of stuff and, like, all the connections. Like, now you know 100 people who are, you know, in the industry, and it's like, well, you can help each other
out.
Yeah,
that's one of the main things when I went to art school. It wasn't the, hey, here's how you use this program and here's how you do the basics. It's the fundamentals on this is how you deal with these situations, and this is how you actually try to negotiate contracts, and this is how you, you know, deal with things on the business side. It's like stuff that you would never think of. And mm-hmm. it's also like how to go on and find inspiration and how to, you know, integrate other things. It's taking raw basic ability that you have and actually putting methodology behind it.
I think we need to have an art school or not episode and find like maybe a couple of people that went to art school that are prominent in the community, as well as a couple of people who didn't go to art school that are prominent in the community. I think that'd be a really interesting episode. Possibly a fight would break out.
Well, it's like, I always hate to think of it as, like, you know, a fight between them, because it really depends on the situation that you're in. Like, I have friends who are always like, oh, poo on art school, like, you don't need that. It's like, yeah, but you grew up in Toronto. Like, you know, there's a thriving artistic community. There are, like, all these people that you can network with. Like, I grew up in, like, subarctic Canada, you know, like, I'm in the middle of nowhere. There were 1,000 people in my town. Like, there is no way I would have gotten into the industry if I hadn't, like, gone out to school and met people that way.
Right. And if I mean, you could easily make the argument, it's like, if you want to go into that, but you feel like you should get a degree, hey, it's there for you. But honestly, if you're a prodigy, you might not need it.
That
works for like a lot of different things, as far as like you could go to college or you could not go to college. And there's plenty of people that did not go to college that are billionaires right now. So,
well, I guess it depends on what you're really focusing on, I would think. I mean, there are good sides about things. I mean, yes, schools can teach you technical basic fundamentals and get you going in the right direction, but it's still up to you to find your own style and your own pace and your own way of doing things. Mm-hmm. You are still a unique individual. You can't just, you know, follow everything that was done in the book and then expect to, you know, succeed. Because you'll just be... That's one of the main things I was doing when I was first trying to find jobs was I always heard from employers saying, all these people that are applying to these jobs are cookie cutters, the exact same people. We keep saying the same basic stuff in resumes. We're looking for something else, mm-hmm. something unique, something that says, I'm different from everybody. And that's the kind of thing you can only develop on your own, so... While school is useful, you still need your mm-hmm. own passion behind it to go, this is who I am, this is what I do, and why I'm different from everybody else.
I think we should start our actual show.
Yeah.
So anyway, webcomics.
You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
I actually will probably end up keeping a bunch of that, because it's kind of good stuff. Welcome to another edition of the Webcomic Beacon here on webcomicbeacon.com, part of the Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. I'm Fess of ArgerComic.com. With me we have Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com.
Hello.
Kelly Turnbull of ManlyGuys.com.
Hello.
And Michael Delheim of... OnyxSparrow.com? PrepareToDie.com?
It would be OnyxSparrow.com is main site. Also, we have WagonWebcomicBattle.com and, of course, CFTP.us for Cinematic for the People.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a little bit, as Mark apparently has snuck away from the Webcomic Beacon a few times to...
Well, a few times. What are you talking about?
So let's go ahead and get
here last week.
Yes, indeed, we had to usurp his timey wimey voice on occasion.
Yeah, so tell us about Cinematic for the People.
Well, Cinematic for the People is a a riffing group we have pulled together that basically takes old public domain, horrible, cheesy movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of make fun of them in mass. We also have host segments and things that go along with it. And it's basically just a good time. If you want to just watch some really bad, old, horrible movies and make fun of them, just because that's the only way you can make them partially enjoyable. We do that on a regular basis on a YouTube channel right now. We also do it live at conventions and such as well on a regular basis.
Yeah, we were there for when you guys did something with like the B-Girls or whatever.
Yes, Invasion of the B-Girls and Atomic Rulers of the World.
Yeah, at
the double feature for that day.
PenguinCon last year, I think it was. Yeah,
that was a fantastic show.
It was really fun, and I was drinking with Alex, and we got a little sauced. It was pretty funny.
Well, it was kind of funny that through the second movie, Jim was pretty tanked, so it made it very funny.
For those who don't know, that's Adam.
Yes, Adam Smithy, a.k.a. Jim Hansen, who is the kind of ringleader of our little group.
There you go.
Whether he wants to be or not.
Yeah. All right, you guys, what's the website for that?
CFTP.us. Website ever.
There's so many single letters in there. Yes. All right. So this week's episode has come about as I saw Mike had posted on. If you're not aware of this, there is a Facebook group for webcomic creators called Webcomic Creators. And there's been a lot of good stuff that's going around there, and there's no paywall to have to worry about for people sharing information with one another about things. We're asking questions and trying to get some assistance on some inquiries they may have. And so, Mike, I'm going to have you set this up since basically it is your post. But go ahead and start with like the basic story of how you came up to why you found yourself. Basically with a writer's block or an artist block.
Well, it's a lot. You don't really know the whys or how sometimes, but it was one of these. About 2 years ago, I had moved from Illinois to Michigan, where I'd set up for a new job at a new place and everything. And I had noticed as I was kind of trudging through my time and effort getting adjusted to a new place and everything that I started slipping off from the routines of updating webcomics and working on other projects, and I just felt like just my creative muse was starting to fall off on me. It's like something, whatever was sparking, it wasn't quite there anymore. And so it got to this point of like, I know I need to get this back, I need to start working on things again, but I just couldn't feel the motivation to really sit down and get it done as I used to. And so I eventually decided, I was like, okay, there's a community out there. I might as well reach out to these people and go, okay, what do you feel this? Do you ever get into this position where you just don't want to make stuff anymore? And it's such a strange feeling to actually have because I've been creative for so many years and so long making all sorts of random things in all different kinds of medium. And then just to go, I don't feel like doing anything is like unnatural. It's like something has to be wrong. What's causing this?
Was it a matter of was time a factor in this? Were you pressed for time for your creative time, or did you have plenty of time and you still felt this way?
Yeah, I had plenty of free time and everything. It's simply you don't feel inspired to do things. It's like you start procrastinating a bit. You find other things to do. It's like, I'm going to go play this game, or I'm going to watch a movie, or I'm going to do other things.
I'll just play Civilization for maybe an hour, and then I'll come back and get my comic done.
Yeah. It's like, I even got to the point.
All right, yeah. Mike dropped off there for just a second there, so we'll get him back as soon as we can. And if Mike can't actually hear us, you should know that we cannot hear you now. But, yep, there he dropped. He dropped. He just dropped. He's gone. So, the joke there with Civilization 5 that I made was basically, no, it never takes just an hour. It turns into like 15 hours for me. It's pretty terrible. I had to uninstall it off of my laptop so I wouldn't play it.
I watched one of the worst invasion movies of all time.
I watched Dahmer versus Gacy.
Oh, well, okay, you got me now. So this was called Battle Beneath the Earth. And it's a 60s made in Britain TV, or it's a movie. It's not a TV movie, it's a regular movie, and it's so cheesy. So it presupposes that it takes place in the United States, and everyone has a British accent anyway. The only person that I recognized in it was Ed Bishop from Thunderbirds and UFO, you know. But anyway, it presupposes that the Chinese, there's a faction of the Chinese that decides they're going to take over the world. And so they start tunneling under the earth with these super advanced lasers that can tunnel through the earth. And so now they're under Colorado and Arizona and Texas. And they're going to put nuclear bombs under the United States and blow it up. And not one of the people in this is Chinese. It's all horrible makeup and bad accents. And oh, it was terrible. But kind of the movie you just sort of watch because it's so incredibly bad.
So it's entertaining bad at the very least.
Yeah, it's Mystery Science Theater bad. You just can't turn away. It's so cheesy and so goofy and so stupid. And
there's a movie called like Night at the Drive-In or something like that. Oh, I saw it with Melissa the other night.
Is this where they get trapped in the drive-in? That's like the new social program.
Yeah, yeah. Like the police come and steal the main character's like two wheels off his car so he can't leave.
Yeah, it's like some gang members got it. It's like free entrance to the drive-in. But what they don't tell you is that this is like the new government social program. So if you're a loser, punk, whatever, okay, you get free access in here, and they go in there.
No, it's $350. It's still $350 if you're unemployed to get in, but it's $10 if you're employed. So they.
Oh, I see. Yeah, so it's like it's like Road Warrior, but the government runs it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it was all right for like what it was, but I was having a serious problem. The main character especially had the problem of plot induced stupidity. It was like, okay, they had this. If I felt like they had these characters, and whoever made the movie was adamant that they would never have any character development whatsoever, regardless of how stupid or oblivious they were to everything else, you know, it's just. And that's what was pissing me off, is like, what the fuck are you doing? Sort of situations. It's like, why don't you just do this? Why don't you just do that? You know, that's, do you not fucking get what's going on? Quit playing stupid. You know, I was just really angry at this character for being dumb, but it's got a lot of, you know, fun stuff in it as well. But, it gets really good at the end. I should say the act three is really good. It's a lot more fun than the rest of it. It's like, you're just yelling at this character, you idiot. Well, it's this really weird world.
Is it? Was that British?
Oh, who the
as
fuck?
Well? For some reason, I thought it was British. Maybe because they were all like the punk outfits the people wore. Like the biker gang punk 80s makeup look. I don't know.
That was over here, too. I think we had punk first.
Well, I know it was over here, too. I just mean what they were wearing and stuff. It just looked kind of British. It's been a long time since I've seen it. But yeah, it's a horrible movie.
Sorry, I opened up a file to draw on. What movie?
Like Night at the Drive-In or something like that.
Oh, okay. I thought you were still talking about Road Warrior at first. I was like, no, I'm pretty sure that's Australian.
Well, actually, it is Ausploitation. It was filmed in Australia.
I was talking to one of my friends in Australia, and she was telling me that the outback is so huge that, like, if you don't bring extra gas with you, you can't drive across it. Like there aren't enough towns in it that you can like drive from one point to another to fill up. So we're like, so Road Warrior wasn't even like post-apocalyptic. It was just like the actual thing that's probably happening in the outback right now.
Well, we're still waiting for Mike. Mike.
Yes.
Oh,
there
why didn't you say anything? Mike.
Yes.
But why didn't you say anything?
Because I'm trying to check things and see if things work and such. I'm right here.
All right, let me just write
things
down.
Things were being weird and wacky.
All right.
But I just ran a speed test and everything, and I seem to be, you know.
Well, I still blame
huge,
you anyway.
But it's good enough.
Battle Beneath the Earth. It's on Warner Archive's new instant beta. I got in that, so I'm happy. Lots of fun movies to see.
Oh, boy.
I think they want to do like Netflix and have like a streaming service.
Okay.
I'd bite if it was cheap. Okay. Let's
trying
go.
To move on, Mark. Let's see here.
I'd bite that.
For those who don't know, from the previous cut, it's been about 6 minutes. So we really don't know what Mike was just about to talk about. Unless you remember. Mike.
I was in mid-sentence, so I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah.
Talking about Civilization 5 or something.
Anyway, so the main problem is that you had artist or writer's block, and so you went to the webcomic creator's Facebook page and basically asked, help! Help me! In so many words. But... So, and there was a huge list of people that were able to give in their insights. So I was just going to go through and read some of these, and then we can also discuss some of these tactics as well. I'm not sure how to pronounce these names, so I apologize if I don't get it. Artist of Double D Comics, Sharon Guthrie, It says that she watches cartoons, listens to silly music, Weird Al, Rental Floss, plays video games. As long as it's silly, bright, and colorful, she creates the environment that matches the theme, and most of her stuff is comedy and bright. So I think that's a pretty good idea. I mean, if you are maybe writing something a little bit dark, maybe watch The Dark Knight or something like that. Get in the mood. I think that's a good idea. What do you guys think?
Yeah, surround yourself with the environment you're trying to create. It's certainly a good plan.
Yeah, you might find something in there to inspire you. There's no doubt about it. Maybe, I don't know, the way Batman, you know, climbs a fire escape or something might be cool you could use.
All right.
Well, whenever you see the action sequences and motions and things, you get the emotion that's behind it as well. It's always getting that feeling of, okay, this guy's not doing things the way a normal person would. Let's see what you would do if you're just angry or if you're just, you know, really determined to do something and you don't care if you're about following the rules or not.
It was actually, I mean, I don't know if it's totally related, but there's kind of a cool like exercise they would get us to do at Sheridan a lot, where it's like, you know, you'd find a sequence in a movie that like kind of speaks to you somehow, you know, if you're like, you like kind of the emotions they're getting at. And a lot of it has to do with like, you know, the cinematography and how it's like framed. Cause like that sort of thing, you know, like you can just like skew the camera slightly and it'll make things unsettling, or like how you, you know, make, you know, the comparative size of like the main character to all the elements around him, and just like the things like that, that like visually resonate with people. And you just like go through the movie, and like every time the composition like changes significantly, you just pause it and sketch out the scene in like 30 seconds or less, like just quick little thumbnail of like the basic shapes and where they are. And you go through like, you know, a whole like 10-minute chunk of the movie like that, just doing it. So you kind of like ingrain in yourself, like, you know, these are the compositions that like evoke these certain emotions and stuff like that. Or like, you know, this is how you would stage an action movie versus this is how you would stage a sitcom, or like, you know, just kind of different cinematography that kind of like leads to different.
Oh yeah, it's the same thing creating movies, creating comics, creating everything else. I mean, framing is almost more important than the characters and the acting in such at times. It's the ambiance, it's the feeling you get from what you're looking at.
It's funny, I bought a real copy of the Silent Hill movie, even though it's a terrible movie, because the cinematography in it is almost perfect. Like, it is like textbook cinematography, every shot. It's like, you know, they'll turn and they're like climbing up a big pile of girders, and like every single shot is like perfect framing, no tangents. And it's like, oh my God, like
the cinematographer's time was
wasted.
I find the older films are better for that. I mean, everything from Citizen Kane to the old monster movies. I watched this monster movie you probably never saw before because it's not an actual monster. It's Peter Lorre. It's like his debut in America. And it's called Mad Love. If you've never seen it, this is like the last film this German expressionist cinematographer made. And it's brilliant. It's brilliant. Because there's so many visual things going on in that film that I really need to own a copy of that film. That's not just one you just watch and forget. It's really a very stylish film. But it depends on what you're trying to do. Like the German expressionism stuff, that's really good for your Batman and your things like that. Work for Tim Burton anyway.
Yeah.
Well, there is a lot to be said about some of the older movies since they didn't have all these special effects and everything else to work with. It was very important how they framed shots, and they had to convey emotion and feeling and drive all through how they angled things and how they set up the scene. So I think they did pay attention to that a lot more than they do now.
If we're gonna continue talking about movies, I should probably get Melissa in on the show. Actually, she's going to be starting a new podcast with somebody. Basically, it's called Real Education, or REEL. Where basically they teach she and another friend teaches one of their other friends basically about classic movies. So that'll be interesting. We'll post about it once it comes in.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next suggestion. I actually ended up getting on this close to the top. people who have heard the show before know what I would recommend, at least for artist block. And that's what I basically said, is to draw fan art of other people's characters. And I usually do it by request. The thing is that there's no commitments to styles or the level of doneness you're here. You're just trying to just get in a sketchy mood to start drawing something that's not yours. So you're not trying to be overly critical of yourself or your style or anything. You're not committing to complete a comic, or even, you know, you can just do a sketch, or sometimes I've actually done and finished doing inks and colors for the ones that I really liked if they turned out very well. And that's always been very good for me to get in that drawing mood, something that I don't have to do. Is basically helps me as far as an artist block goes.
Well, there is always one of those points of when you get to the point of thinking things are obligations, that's always seems to be the kind of breaking point for a lot of burnout and such.
Well,
it reminds me of when I had first gotten through school, actually, and I'd gotten one of my first jobs that I was working as an artist for a small company. And I was driving to work one day, and most of the time, it's like one of these, I'm tired, it's early in the morning, I don't want to be here, whatever. And then I kind of had to stop myself, and I thought, you know, I'm done with school. I don't have assignments, I don't have anything I have to do, I'm not looking for grades. This is what I want to do. This is what I wanted to do for my job, and I'm doing it. So how can I be upset about it? And by just going into that kind of an attitude of this is what I chose to do opposed to this is what I have to do, you improve your outlook on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. 'Tis true.
I suppose that's the have to, so to speak. Anyone who gets that reference, I applaud you. But yeah, there's certainly something said for like, especially when you're looking at it, this is my job sort of thing, which is what a lot of the top tier cartoonists will basically say, is like, you make it your job. And that's another thing that, you know, I could throw in there. I found I've done a lot better in managing my time because I work overnight. So I've really screwed up sleep schedule. And once I started using like Google Calendar I actually have on my Google Calendar the times that I work, the times that I should be sleeping, and for the weekends, 3 or 4 hour periods of nap times. And then I also schedule when I do every single thing. This is when I color Ardra. This is when I work on an episode of First Issue. This block for the whole Sunday here is when I work on the Webcomic Beacon podcast. And I've gotten a lot better sleep, for one, I'm still having some other, you know, sort of related and unrelated issues that are trying to get, you know, that are interrupting this, but I feel I've got a better handle on a lot of things. And making a schedule for everything in your life or most everything might be something that could also be beneficial to some people.
Of course, you know, it depends on your own personality at the time as well. I mean, I could see very easily making a nice schedule and keeping it structured and orderly would help a lot of people. For someone like me, however, I have a tendency to be overwhelmed if I have too many things to take care of. Mm-hmm. And actually to have a schedule of everything, you must get this done now within this amount of time, would probably drive me up a wall.
Well, you don't meticulously schedule absolutely every single second. I mean, it's like you also got room for error. You also got to be able to forgive yourself.
When I get to poop.
I have to say, I really admire people who make comics and stuff from home and they can do that. Yeah, I'm just too lazy. I find I have to be in the mood to draw or take pictures or paint or write or whatever the hell it is. I've got to be in the mood to do it. And if I'm not, then the results will be kind of crappy. Mm. So I never really learned those skills of, you know, knuckling down and being
professional. It's like jogging, you know, they say you hit the wall and then you have to like power through the wall.
Right.
It's like the same thing. You know, you're drawing and it's just like, no, it's not happening, but I have to do it anyway. And then eventually you'll get to, it's like, that's, you know, when I've got a block or something, it's like I just draw all of the shitty drawings that, you know, it's like I'm going to throw all these out. You know, like I just got to – you have to do a lot of bad drawings to get the good one out.
Yes, yes. That's actually something I suggested to somebody earlier because I've always had this problem too where I get so fixated on a drawing or a sketch and it never is a sketch because I always have to finish. I got to erase and correct, erase and correct, erase and correct. If you just sit and just go and just get that – get the idea of that design out on paper. You can always improve on it later. Just get that crappy, sketchy sketch out of your head.
It's true with photography. Back in the days when we had film,
hey, back in my day, and I had to roll a film in my camera under fancy circuit boards.
They used to say that you would maybe get one, maybe two frames out of 24 would be worth anything.
My grandpa used to be a newspaper photographer back in his youth. And he it was cool because we found like this big box of like all his photos and stuff. And, you know, there'd be like photos he'd taken of my grandmother where it was just like a headshot kind of thing. And there's all these, you know, it's like you could practically make a flip book out of them and just see her head kind of like bobbling around. Cause like, you know, it's like he's trying to figure out like how to, you know, frame her right and get it, you know, just like, you know, what the perfect, you know, it's like when you're trying to take a photo of somebody on your smartphone, you're like snap, 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 snap. And then you delete 15 of them and snap, snap, snap. And it's like, can't delete those 15. And I don't know. There were like other fun photos in there. Like there were a bunch of photos of like my grandma and her friends at the beach and they're, you know, like wearing like the kind of 30s beach wear or whatever. But, you know, they look like Facebook photos. Like, you know, they're all like making goofy faces at the camera and like piling up on each other and stuff. And it was like, it's, you know, it's not so because like most people didn't have their own cameras. Like, it, you know, you'd only see photos if they were like taken for an explicit purpose. And this is just like guy with the camera goofing around at the beach.
Cool. We got to take a break and get back to a lot of the other suggestions because I want to hear their suggestions before we add new ones. So we'll be right back with more of other people's suggestions.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. Love the show? Please grab the iTunes or RSS feed. We're also on Stitcher.com with Stitcher Smart Radio, an on-demand service where you can stitch podcast and radio show feeds together for your own personal streaming service. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic books, news, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
I want to try to get through their suggestions. We can build off of their suggestions, and then we can add more of our suggestions at the end, because I want to give some credit to a lot of these people here.
Alrighty then.
Let's see here. An Elizabeth Fernandez, writer of The Code Crimson, linked an article from Neil Gaiman. Basically reading back a manuscript and saying if you can't tell the difference between the stuff he wrote on the days when his muse was kind to him versus the stuff he wrote kicking and screaming and fighting with himself to force every last word out. I'll go ahead and add that link to our show notes as well. I'm also going to be linking this particular webcomic creator's conversation as well, so you can see everybody's in context. James Jokum, I think we've had him on the show before. Let's see here. That's who I think he is. I think he had a podcast at one point. I'm not sure. He says he zones out with his wake up playlist, something about punk country metal makes him feel good. So, you know, that's another way of getting yourself into a mood, getting music to surround you. Does anybody here use music?
I try to listen to music, and then I end up spending more time fiddling with my playlist than I do actually like working.
Yeah, I actually do listen to a lot of music. I also, along with music, listen to a lot of podcasts and such, actually, in the background.
Oh, like the Webcomic Beacon?
On occasion. There's the Webcomic Beacon.
I actually used to listen to the webcomic, like, before I was on the Webcomic Beacon, I would listen to it all the time to, like, you know, while I was working on animation and stuff, like, you know, if it's people talking, then I'm not tempted to, like, fiddle with it, and I got through, like, the entire show archive that way.
Sweet. I appreciate it.
Even if you had to listen to me, that would, like, force you to draw. I gotta draw before I could turn this off! I don't draw something, no.
Your voice is very soothing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm probably one of the only people that has had regular listen to Mark's podcast when he was doing those for a while. So.
Oh, you were the one.
And if you want soothing, just talking in your background, that's the direction you go. Just an hour and a half of just Mark. Just, hey, how's it going?
Say, you're like
Mark,
radio DJ, or so, like, you know, those like late night kind of radio DJs where it's like they're, you know.
Yeah, Mark talking about a walk through the park. I mean, come on. Mark, what happened? Come on now.
I went down to the park and we walked along over the grass and there was a big pile of dog shit there. I stepped in.
See, it's like poetry.
It's
awful and stank and smelled like rotting corpses. And yet it was just dog shit. I don't know what they fed it, but it was there. And anyway, we walked on. And
yeah, I guess I could do that. I haven't made a podcast in forever.
Yeah, you're like a... And we lost Mike once again. I want to say it has to be his connection because we're still here. There you are.
For a moment, yes.
All right, we'll see how it works.
Apparently Skype hates me today.
Yes.
Which is probably one of the reasons we use Skype for Cinemac for the people, along with other, you know, factors. It doesn't seem to be stable all the time, sadly.
All right.
I seem to have problems with it. Like, if I'm in, you know, if I'm talking on my laptop and I go into another room, like, that the router's not in and I close the door, like, that seems to like, give me issues with Skype.
Mm-hmm. Well, why do you have, like, lead-plated doors?
I don't know. to withstand bombs, I guess.
Just blast-proof, waiting for the end.
All right. So another contribution we have here is from Christy Bontrager, and artist from Zynga Inc. She says, "When you sit down at your computer and open your art program up, as which Mike was talking about earlier, you're going into work mode, and this can feel like a chore than fun. It can be a real struggle to create sometimes. One way I combat this is I always carry a sketchbook with me, and when the moment of creativity strikes, I can whip it out. Whether I'm on a train eating lunch, not bound by a computer or a schedule, I'm drawing purely for the fun of a project. There's something very freeing about that, and it helps her put into good drawing moods and inspires her to get back to work. The sketchbook theory is something that's been commented on before, as in being, it's like, if you're not carrying your sketchbook around, you're not going to be able to get good at art as much as you would if you did. You know, and that's certainly I'm not sure how much of a block breaker this is, but
it's funny because I heard that about a camera. You know, if you're a real photographer, you always have a camera somewhere handy. Always bring it with you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's true with almost anything that you try to do. When you have your tool that becomes like an extension of yourself, it's the, I have this. This is what I always have and I can use it at any point, as if it's a natural thing to do. It becomes automatic at that point. So if you have anything to doing that just becomes part of your regular routine, it's not something you have to plan to do, then I think that does help a bit in the creative process.
Yeah. And on the writing side, Bill Morse, who works at WP Morse Cartoons and Illustrations, he says the best trick that he has is a research database he maintains in which he puts conversations, turn of phrases, jokes, even bad ones, concepts and story ideas. So whenever he's in a dry period, he can go dip into his basically thing of notes and with Dropbox and other sort of like syncing tools, you can add this to stuff on your phone that'll show up on, you know, your computer sort of thing, a big sort of like a brain list of, I can't think of the proper wording for that sort of thing, just a mental dump, basically. And it's like, yeah, I don't really have an idea, but that sounds kind of cool. I'll just throw it here. And then it's like, if you're really like hitting a writer's block, maybe you can just peruse some old thoughts you have. And then sometimes it's even about like, whenever you find like old sticky notes somewhere, it's like, what the heck was I meaning when I wrote that down? Which can be an adventure in and of itself.
Well, it's always been fun when going in that direction. I used to have actually just spiral notebooks that were full of just weird and crazy notes about organization of different groups and different cultures of story I was writing, and just back history kind of concepts and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, when you start to flesh out a lot of those details and it becomes more real at that point, then it is kind of interesting to see what naturally flows out of it, because you have more of a defined structure to work with, opposed to here's just a whole bunch of random stuff that we have to kind of make it up on the fly,
right?
Which can also help with the process. But yeah, and so it's, whenever you have those weird and wacky ideas, it's like, hey, I'm gonna save that for later because it could be, you know, useful.
What H.G. Wells used to do to get around this, I guess, or it became how he worked. He would have several jars, and he would have a title on each jar. And what he would do is, whenever he came up with an idea that he liked, he would write it down and stuff it in the jar for that particular story. When the jar was full, he pretty much had a book.
Interesting. We have another idea from Jeremy. Oh, if you're going to expand on that, go ahead.
Oh, I go into quip mode. I was just going to comment on how jarring that tale must be.
All right, moving on.
Cinematic for the people. Make fun of things.
Moving on.
Welcome.
Jeremy Walford. Jeremy Walford writes, here are his top ways to get around mental block. He saw them on a repost somewhere and they work for him. Go for a walk, listen to music you like or that reminds you of your story. Simply push through it or do something else unrelated. Ebbs and flow and creativity are normal, and allowing that part of your brain to recharge is healthy. Certainly going for a walk, I know is a tried and true method of almost any profession. If you're struggling on a certain part, when my brother, he was a computer programmer, their location had like this little path around this pond. And it was not uncommon for many a programmer just to go and take a walk for a while and then come back and, I know how to fix the server sort of thing.
Well, it's like, you know, when you're playing Portal, you get stuck in Portal. You know, if you just keep fighting it, it's not going to get better. You got to go, like, eat a snack or something, you know, take a walk, you come back. You're like, how didn't I get that Portal solution? And it applies to everything.
Oh, yeah. Always need to walk away, get a fresh perspective on things. Let the brain, you know, percolate for a while. A little back burner thought process.
Perfect analogy.
Yes.
Let's see here.
That's one of the things when I was at work a lot of times was I would be sitting there like surfing the internet looking at random things. Not because I was really screwing around, but I had to create like a design or something like that. And it's like, I have to let my brain just chew on this for a while. And so while it looked like I was just goofing off, I was actually trying to get the process just going of, okay, something has to be inspired. Something else has to go on. Because you can't just sit there and stare at it until, you know, blood forms on your forehead from concentration. That's not going to work at all.
Carl Cleese of Willow's Grove has some pretty interesting, has a pretty interesting perspective here. He says, I just keep producing. My scripts are written well in advance, so I just go into factory mode. My muse left me years ago, but now I seem to continue on for the sake of continuing on until the electricity, water, and internet are turned off and they finally kick me out of my house.
That's actually what I do a lot of the time. Like if I get stuck and I just keep writing like for the sake of like getting words, even if it's just like the worst writing, I'll just keep going. And then, you know, later on you can always delete like 50 pages of writing and redo it. It's like, you know, I don't know. I feel like that makes me at least feel like I'm still doing something. Like even if it's like, you know, setting fire to something that I just made that I don't like, it's, you know, it still feels like quantifiable progress.
Yes. Sometimes, you know, progress isn't a step forward. Sometimes it's a change in direction.
Yes. Yes.
Sideways.
Going straight doesn't mean that you're necessarily it's not necessarily the only way to progress.
Well, it's like if I'm stuck and if I just drop it, then I'll forget about it. But if I keep working, like, you know, if I keep, you know, treading the water and just writing the stuff I know I'm going to delete anyway, then like eventually the idea for what to do next will come to me. And if I just leave it, then, you know, I'm not making that forward progress.
Yeah. It's like mental dumping, basically. Just you get all that garbage out of your head and you might find, oh man, why did I throw that away? And something might just come out of that. The same thing is like writing your scripts well in advance can also be very helpful, or also could end up boring you at a point where it's like, well, you're just doing this and you don't have that sort of like written sort of going for you. So there can be drawbacks to writing well in advance as well. Depending on, you know, if you're writing and doing the art, I'm not sure of how it might seem if you're an artist and your writer has given you 100 pages of script already. I'm not sure if you feel, hey, I don't have to bother him for a script for like a long time, or it just seems daunting at that point. That would be kind of interesting. I think I said I wanted to do another creator sort of episode. We'll look into that in the future as well.
I've always heard the colorist get the short end of the stick, because, like, you know, like if the writer is a little bit late, then the artist is a lot late, and then the colorist has, like, you know, they're the one that has to like race the deadline.
Oh, I've just uploaded the black and whites at that point. And say, I'll color it later, or at least for the print.
I mean, more for like, you know, that's what I always hear, like professional comics guys talking about, you know, professional colorists are like, yeah, we're kind of saving your ass all the time. So like, there was a whole thing a while back, like, I don't know what convention it was because they didn't mention it by name. They were just like, so, hey, you know, convention who shall not be named. It was this person who's like a professional, I think like either Marvel or DC colorist, who was told by the convention that, like, you know, like, oh, we only hire, or like we only book artists, like the you know, pencilers and inkers and writers for their conventions. Like, they were just like, colorists aren't artists. And they're, you know, they just wrote this thing like, okay, look, this is how difficult it is for the colorist. And like, how dare you?
Yeah, and what about inkers? They're just tracing. They go around the lines. They're tracers.
Yes. That's not, that's what I was going to say. Either. At least they're not tracers.
Well, they're even pointing
your mother's a tracer!
Actually, there was some animated movie we were watching where it credited the cleanup crew as like tracers. It was like, oh my god, like, who wrote that?
Tracers.
All right. J.W. Balsey says, and he's from, actually, I don't know what he's from, freelance. Get lots of exercise and make the comics you would like to read yourself, but these are not cures, just helpful possibilities. It's like, well, for like a lot of us, especially in webcomics, we are already making the comics that we like, but the exercise part, Can certainly
yeah,
be
it. Exercise is overrated. It's
oh no, I've seen you in person. I totally know your position on this.
It cuts in. And besides, I'm a ninja, so I already have, you know, natural, you know, athletic power and ability. Oh. So exercise is really not very useful.
Me. Tiffany Ross, she's not. I can only get so much information from these hoverovers. Tiffany Ross, I know she does some comics I've seen before. She also says working on another project does very well. Again, like this is what I was saying earlier, getting yourself away from your existing commitment. Where you're basically is like, oh, I can just go blah, all over the couch because I don't have to do anything right now. So you're not committed to do it, and you can just kind of make your mind and hands be free to go where they may. Don't read into that.
I'm not really committed at this point. I would like to get married one day, but at this point I'm a little, off the circuit.
Jordan Katsubu, I'm sorry. He suggests getting plenty of sleep. And I think that again, as I was saying earlier, a nice schedule, making sure a sleep schedule is very important for keeping yourself productive. My brother was very bad at sleep. He would only get when I say he would only get a few hours of sleep a week. I do mean he would only get a few hours sleep a week. But then he would end up using almost all of Saturday to catch up on all of the week's sleep, and I don't think that was very good.
And that it doesn't really work that way.
It works that way for a while, and then you start. Yeah, it doesn't do your brain any good.
Oh, not really.
Let's see where we are right here. Oh, we got plenty of time here. We're kind of burning through these here.
If only we could exercise while we were asleep.
Sleepercise.
Yes.
Go walking in your sleep.
Sleepwalking?
Try that.
If we could induce sleepwalking so people can actually exercise while they were asleep, that would be the greatest thing ever. Someone should get on that.
I'm not sure if it's in one of these suggestions, but I think somebody can correct me on this, but I think there's like some online like anti-procrastinator like programs or apps or things like that, or where you are, I guess, rewarded in somehow for completing certain tasks. I have to look that up, but I saw something on Tumblr about that. What was that?
Gamification. That's what it's called when you take real life tasks and make them so it's sort of like you get like almost like game rewards or trophies or whatever for like just doing like little things that you should be throughout your day.
All right, that'd be a method. I don't think that was suggested on here. So yeah,
I can't remember what the website was, but at one point a few years ago, we had tried to do a weight loss challenge kind of a setup with that, Adam Smithy and Tanya Higgins and myself, among a few other people, were involved in. Mm-hmm. The Bitsu was a website that had set up yourself as like a role-playing character, and by completing certain tasks, you could gain experience, which you could then level up with and gain, bonuses and things like that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we had set up so like if you go and you do exercise for 3 hours today, then you get XP and you can find random items as treasure and fight monsters and things. So it was an interesting setup. But I can't remember what the site was.
Oh, well,
remember seeing that when I went to
it was like
to
Chore Wars or something like that? Was that at Chore Wars, I think was it's called. That was it. Yeah, it was interesting. And it was that same kind of a setup of they turn things into games.
Yeah.
Kelly, you were going to say something.
Oh, no, I was just saying, like, I remember seeing the site. I went to, like, Tanya's site to see if she'd, like, done any webcomics or anything. And, because, like, I've never actually seen Tanya's comics because I think when I started listening to Webcast Beacon or Webcomic Beacon or whatever, like, her site was already down. So, like, I remember when she was like, oh, yeah, I just got, like, Daisies and shit up again. I kept, like, going there to see if there were comics yet, to see what her comics looked like. But I saw that thing that you were talking about.
Yeah, she was doing her comics back when Beta Pwned was around. But yeah, we only did that thing for a few months, and then they kind of went, okay, her and David Adams are so far ahead that this is stupid. And it kind of fell to the wayside, unfortunately.
And there's no first, like you get in Warcraft, where if you don't play for a long time, then suddenly your character levels up really fast.
No, not really. There's no bonus XP for slacking off.
Oh, that's too bad. Amy Leitz writes, looking back at old sketches can be helpful. Maybe you'll find something from when you were inspired but didn't have time to work on at the time. And you think like, hey, that's a great idea, and your spark is reignited. This could also work conversely, I could say, for some people, which could get depressed looking at their old sketches. But
No, if you look at your old stuff and it's terrible and you're like, wow, at least I don't draw like that anymore.
Yeah, that's another way, a good way. That's what I would use an argument all the time when I was talking about like with certain other cartoonists.
Huh?
Yeah, Mark, where I'd say, where somebody's like, oh, I can't believe how bad I could draw. Or it's like, oh, I'm really unsatisfied. And then I go, okay, go to your website right now. Click first. Then tell me that same sentence again, you know? It's like, no, it's, you've gotten better. Just keep going. And we've lost Mike again.
Oh, no.
Well, that's true. I've been able to do that because I can see where my comics used to look really kind of crappy, and now they only look sort of crappy. So that's an improvement.
Mark. All right. I think it's actually a good spot. Maybe it's a good spot to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Fall down. Cause even William Shatner failed and he's still hanging around. He came back to save the day. Well, you're not him, but that's okay.
That was Get Over It by Matthew Ebel, found at musicalley.com by Mevio. Speaking of which, let's see if there's any bit of news I can go through first here before we go ahead and get rolling. Let me just open up the webcastbeacon.com website here to check things out. Oh, shoot. That's right. The database is still... We're having some trouble with the database connection right now. I'm trying to get it sorted out. So by the time you hear this, it's likely fixed. But we did have the webcomic Blind Date 2013. All but three groups handed something in. So we got a whole lot more. I think we got three times as many comics in than last year. And so that's great. And some people did, like, one team did two pages, and another group did four pages. And I was like, well, that's a lot more. Maybe I didn't specify correctly. So that's really great. If you have not seen your stuff online, and you did do it and you did send it to me, check your spam, or get on Twitter, tell me to check my spam or make a comment in there. Cause I didn't see it, clearly, I didn't get an email for it. Also the Valentine's Day sex drive, seemed to go off, well without a hitch for the most part, just under 50.
Very large participation in that, apparently.
Yeah, just like 47 or such like that. People participating. Actually, it might have been up to 49 by the last minute. Again, we'll try to link to that as well. Again, not safe for work for that one.
Not at all.
Though there are some that are more tame than the others, and then there's some that are just incredibly not safe for work. Let's see here. Also looking to bring back the Webcomic Beacon newscast. I'm going to refold it back into the Webcomic Beacon, till we can figure some things out. It's just easier that way for the RSS and for what the new site is going to be. Actually today in about 50 minutes, we're going to start try to record a new episode of that with some new potential crew members. And if you think you might be interested in being a potential crew member, go ahead and shoot me an email at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. We're trying a whole new format to make less work on individual persons and spread the work around as far as what's expected of everybody, as far as, you know, when it comes to news gathering and such. We were basically, Eric and Jason were basically spending several hours a week looking for and gathering simply related news. Some of that didn't even get talked about, or it just ended up like being padding. So we're going to be focusing on stuff, on news items that pop up. And we have a definite interest or desire to share that with people and give our comments and such versus just listing everything off that's somewhat related to comic creation. trying something different. We'll see how it works, and we'll be happy to hear your opinions on that. Right now, we're talking about getting through that creator's block. And looking at a Facebook group page, webcomic creators. And let's see here. Somebody's been talking to a productivity coach.
That's all professional-like.
Try something else, which the suggestion was, which... Okay, we can talk about that one. The one by Chris Watkins. Which one to do? We just work always.
Just keep working.
Yeah, yeah.
Work till you bleed. Grind it till you find it.
Grind it. All right. Well, some of the common things on here are, you know, work on something else, take a break. A lot of suggestions have been just kind of work right on through it. And that is something that you usually will most likely will have to do if comic creation or art creation or writing is your job, because you have to. And I feel I could do that a lot more often if I didn't have to worry about, oh, you know, sleep and another 40-hour a week job. But
I feel like, I forget who said it, but there was some writer who, you know, somebody asked them, like, where do you find your muse? And he was like, it's at my desk, and if I'm not there, I miss it.
It's great. Let's see here. Chris Watkins writes, I'm not sure if he's from anything. I sound familiar. I've been through the same sort of thing. He says he's been talking to a productivity coach, and he challenged him to go with one of his instincts, trying something else, whether it mean introducing a new style, working on a new media, character or storyline. Yeah, that could be like if you're working primarily on a story based comic. Think about, see if you can make like a one-off page joke or a little interaction, just something that you don't need to weave it in to your current storyline. If you really are just trying to move past something, just try to do something, maybe trying to do something just completely different, but even still with your own characters, just to get maybe an idea or a joke that's been sitting in the back of your mind, but there's not a good spot to put it into your comic now. I would say that might work. And conversely, if you're writing Gagaday stuff and you're maybe think about a short story that you could write, maybe something that would take place over three or five strips, doing something out of your norm. I think that's a pretty good suggestion. What do you guys think?
Yeah, well, I've done
always
that.
Nice to mix it up a little bit.
We attempted to do something called Webcomic Rescue on the Webcomic Beacon maybe 150 episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
We had one episode of Webcomic Rescue. I forget what who we had on it. It was like Minos the Minotaur, I think it was.
Yes, that was it.
And basically he was doing a Gagaday thing, and while we were talking about his comic and all that sort of thing, we did end up doing the suggestion, we'll try a storyline. Try Minos goes on a quest of some sort, and he actually ended up doing that, and it was actually pretty interesting to read. Still the jokes were in there, but there was like some sort of like over arc going on, and that was pretty good. Actually, I think that might have been like 300 episodes ago. 200 episodes. Right. Wow, it's crazy.
I've done that. I made that kid's book. I chose a color.
Right.
And just went with teal because it was
Robin?
A random color I had extra of.
Was that the Springtime Robin one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good idea, which also we've lambasted you for not trying to pitch that to certain publishers. Because we think
know
it's great.
Want it.
I own a copy of that book.
You're the one.
It's a nice
book. I bought one for my mom.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I don't know. Sometimes people just do go on hiatus. And that's, you know, that hurts kind of everybody. I know it hurts the Ardra fans when we have to go on hiatus because we just can't keep up with it and life, because it is not our main job and we don't get money for it. You know, it's there's no income for it, so it's less of a motivator to, you know. But if you're like, if it's like your bread and butter, it's like you might be a little bit hard pressed to have to take, if you feel like you have to take go on a hiatus, and you probably have more of a motivation to really push through it because you really have to. So that is certainly something that can vary. A lot of high tier people would say you have to treat it like your job if you want it to go somewhere. And I would still argue, yeah, that's, I would agree with that. Work on it as a part-time job. That's why I got that schedule, to try to keep me up on everything. And if you're just doing a sort of hobby thing, you know, hey, less concern for you, I suppose, if you just want to do a hobby thing.
Well, the problem is sometimes when you start getting distracted by some of your other projects. I mean, I know that one of my main problems, I do know with my comic that I haven't been doing as much with it, is that I'm getting other things that I'm doing and working on and such. And so those kind of have always taken priority. It's like a while ago when I started creating the card game Wagon Web Comic Battle,
mm-hmm.
the card game became much more paramount than the comic did. I worked on that a lot more, and I did a lot more with that than I ever did with the comic. And that's mostly because there were so many other people involved with it. So it was more, people depend on me. I have to get this done. There's other people involved with it. But my comic is just me just doing it because I feel like doing it. So it doesn't matter quite as much. It's only at this stage that I'm sitting here going, I really need to start doing that again. I mean, I already know that at this point I'm 2/3 away through the story, and I don't want to go into these one of these points of I just give up. It's like one of those, I want to finish it. It must be completed. And so it's kind of an odd little spot to be in, that's all.
Let's see here. I'm trying to talk to my guys and see if I can figure out why the website's down. Ah!
Jeez.
Megan Rose Gedris of Rosalarian.com has written on here as well, and she suggested, she says, beating artist block is a lot like beating insomnia. Rather than laying there in bed in the dark, the best solution is to get your mind off how much you can't sleep or can't write or can't draw at that moment by doing something else for a bit.
And then she probably brought on masturbation, but yeah.
She actually doesn't mention that.
She was thinking it.
Ah.
If you know Megan, she was thinking.
Well, no, she's saying she suggests doing something you've never done before.
Oh, well, then it couldn't be masturbation.
I don't know. I mean, there could be another. Anyway, let's stop. I don't think I'm not sure if she'd appreciate all that commenting about her masturbating. Let's see here. Chris Jeffrey, who writes, oh, I forget what he does. Cartridge Comics. He says he's been working on and off on his own comic because life isn't as overflowing with free time as it was when he once started, of course. He said he's just given up on schedules and works when he feels like it and has the time. He takes plenty of time to work on non-comic art projects, which keeps things more interesting. He's not ready to shut down, but there's rarely anything to gain from forcing yourself when your heart's not in it. That could be debatable. Of course, this is, you know, he's not keeping up, but he's also not letting his comic die. I have a problem with that with my PSI comic, which. Almost, yeah, I feel really bad. I just don't have the time, and I'm sorry.
I've not updated mine in forever.
Ah, you bastard. But you've updated it more frequently than mine. And I don't know. I feel really bad about having an incomplete. It's not even like at a satisfactory sort of end somewhere. And I was just thinking if I should just write up, hey, this is what happens. And then maybe
you got through those first 3 days, right? So
it was. It's a week. It's been like a week or so.
Oh, it's been a week.
Whatever. I don't care, you bastards.
You knew what you were getting into when you got me back in Nearfest. Just saying.
Damn it.
This is what I bring to the table. You should be aware of this.
Let's see. We have. I'll go with the last two here, just so you guys can shut up. Is James Grant mentions happened to me when I was learning Japanese. I stopped one day and just never picked it up again for a year. How to fix it? And he links to something called the online stopwatch. He says, draw when it goes off, stop and restart it. This time, try something else. Read a book, play a Halo campaign mission, anything but draw. And then when it goes off again, rinse and repeat. So draw, bzz, do something else, bzz, draw. Bzz. So that's one method he mentions. And Chris Watkins comes back and says that's a pretty interesting idea, and also advocates the 5-10 minute burst strategy, where you set a timer, but just for a short duration, and you put pen to paper or fingers to keyboard, regardless of the outcome, just start producing something. Which basically you're basically gunning yourself to just do fucking something, and hopefully something creative can come out of that. I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts on this sort of using a timer or an alarm? Even
it's not a bad idea, I guess.
Isn't that the idea behind what was it? The comic Borked Planet, where basically every comic that was made is like it's just a sketch done in 10 minutes, and then you see what kind of weird and wacky things come out of it. So I mean, it's definitely an interesting exercise in creativity. So. It is a good way to get your juices flowing, I would think.
Mm. at StripCon or Dallas Strip, the Webcomics Con in Dallas, I went and after the whole show, they had a group there that does basically artists go and they do life sketches of they got like actresses there or models posing in. And wearing outfits and such, and they would do this for charity. Basically, people would draw stuff, and then they'd auction it off, which is a really, really cool idea, and it was really, really fun. But one thing I learned is that okay, you have 3 minutes in this pose, you have 5 minutes in this pose, and you have 10 minutes in this pose. So it's like I learned like really fast of how short a minute was, and it's like you really had to like if you. It's a real good practice in sketch if you have a hard time just fucking getting a sketch. I'm swearing a lot on this show. Uh-huh. And that was pretty interesting. You force yourself to take the shortcuts or really focus on what you actually want to get without working so much on the detail, because it is supposed to be a sketch. And I would highly recommend something like that. And I think I want to get try something like that again, just like developing other parts of your drawing ability that you may not normally use. It uses other muscles, I would say, and you could probably also attribute. You can also probably adapt something like that for writing as well, where you're given like I don't know an object or a subject or something like that, and you got like 5 minutes to write like a short story that involves that piece or something like that, or something that could be a nice way to just make it do something, just something, anything at the very least.
Get out of my brain.
And let's see, with that, unless anybody has more comments on those sort of strategies, we can, if anybody has any other strategies that we have not talked about yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If nobody, I'll let you guys think. I'll go ahead and spot one that I've heard from before. It's been brought up before, I think, by Chris Straub and maybe the other Half Pixel guys, where they found that going to a different location, like other than your home, like going to a studio, or even if you have a particular space within your home that's work designated. You go into work mode. And so you don't have like the sort of opportunity to slack off really as much. It's like, well, I'm right here with my computer. I could pull up Steam and play a video game, or I could browse the internet, look at porn or whatever. You know, you really make a mindset. That's why I have a separate laptop that's supposed to be just work. That I only supposed to use it for work, which is also why I deleted Civilization 5 off of it, because it was a stupid idea to put that on there. And I've gotten a lot more work done as soon as I stopped playing that on my freaking laptop. I might also suggest, and I'm not sure if I've heard this before, so I'm not trying to steal it, but a thought was put on a button shirt, maybe put on a tie, maybe put on some slacks, dress like you're going to work. Like, this is, all right, I'm in job mode. I got to do this. I'm going to get my work done. It's putting yourself into a mental framework that's supposed to, like...
Yeah. Pull a What About Bob and put a little punch card on your desk and everything, too.
Whatever helps you to separate from just sort of, like, the casualness... And get yourself into a mindset. I'm not saying it would work for everybody. I'm just saying it could work for like a lot of people. Something to try. And also, you can look nice for a while if you dress up.
Just sitting in your house with the full suit, going, I look fantastic. Hey, let's turn on the webcam and start recording things. So I just look that good.
I should totally wear my suit more often. Any excuse. All right. How about you guys? Any suggestions?
I don't think anything that hasn't been gone over already.
Yeah, we did. I mean, the group came up with a lot of varied stuff and an agreement with a lot of stuff as well.
Well, the one thing that I've always kind of gotten into inspiration is the start. If you're talking about making a comic or you're talking about trying to inspire yourself in that direction, I've always liked working with the universe that I'm in. I've always been a person that I create backstory and I flesh out the world. I put, why is this going on? How do these things work? Even if it's something that never shows up in the comic itself eventually, you know it's part of the world. You know it exists. Mm. And it kind of inspired you to get new ideas sometimes of, oh, well, if we know this is in the world, maybe this would affect this in this way, so therefore it would make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you start working out and fleshing out more details, you have a lot more to inspire you and a lot more to work with, mm-hmm. opposed to, okay, I have a character-centric universe, and okay, what's this guy going to do now? It's the, okay, what is the universe doing and how is he going to react to it instead?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when you can reverse that a bit, it's an interesting dynamic, which can help the process.
All right. Mark?
Yeah. I think really the big thing is just a change of direction. I mean, it's just a big change of pace, whether that's a new story or add a new character or just try a different medium. I mean, anything.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you start a new project recently?
I have. I started a new project. I hadn't. I finished the story I was on. And I was going to start a new chapter of it, and then I went and I decided to do this other thing. Because nobody's reading my comic anyway, except me.
Yeah, there's reasons for that, Mark. Like,
two people, because it sucks.
No, it's you're not updating it, and you're not advertising it. That's why.
Well, you can advertise it for only so long without...
Without updating, I know, Mark, results, yeah.
So...
It's not just a matter of advertising. It's the, you know, be active in communities. Talk to people.
Well, I do that.
Let people know you exist.
I do that.
Also, update.
And update it.
6 years. So, yeah, sometimes you just need to try something different. So there.
Be a player.
So there. All right. And I think we've come to the end of our episode. If you've heard and tried any of these suggestions and they've worked for you, we'd love to hear about your positive experiences. If you have another suggestion that has not been gotten over here, post a comment in this episode's show post or email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Once again, we're going to link to the webcomic creators Facebook group so you can read the whole conversation. And you can also check it out for other free sharing individuals for motivation suggestions for how to do and get by on things. Because that's what the Webcast Beacon Network is all about. That is the end for this episode. Once again, I want to thank Mike from onyxsparrow.com for basically supplying, inadvertently supplying this episode with its content. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Yay, I'm helping.
I've been Fess of archercomic.com.
I've been Kelly Turnbull of manlyguys.com.
And this is Mark of Autumn Lake and dreamingofutopia.com.